But now's the time to return to where we were all, where we were born, where we were born, where we were all born, where we were all born.
Early in my Army career, I was assigned to a newly activated battalion in Germany. Being new, the battalion had significant challenges, such as the lack of maps for our subordinate companies. The maps were all on hand, in the attic of our headquarters, but they had not been divided into unit sets so they could be distributed. That was a tedious and time-consuming task that fell to my sergeant. With so many tasks to accomplish, I understand why he hadn't completed that work. But I still don't understand why the maps didn't become his first priority after the battalion executive officer ordered us to finish the map allocation as soon as possible. The XO was my direct supervisor. He was also a man of violent temper. I'd heard him explode on hapless officers more than once, and I did not want that to happen to my sergeant or me. However, when days passed and nothing had happened with the maps, the XO came into our office to express his displeasure and order us to get to that task immediately. At my direction, the sergeant rushed up to the attic and started bringing down the maps. To my surprise and dismay, each armload of maps he brought down was flung angrily on the floor, followed by loud footfalls as he stomped out to get another load. His petulant display soon got the XO's attention. Yelling at us both to come into his office, he shut the door and gave us a classic Army dressing down. Classic in the sense that it was delivered at the top of his lungs, flavored with profanity, and filled with vivid descriptions of our poor performance. I could have ended the unpleasant event with a word of apology and a promise that we would carry out the XO's command right away. But I was not given that opportunity. Whenever he stopped speaking, my sergeant would jump in before I could say anything. Instead of apologizing, he made the situation worse by offering excuses. The anger and hurt in his voice escalated the XO's temper and prolonged our ordeal far beyond what was necessary. Worse yet, the incident lodged a root of bitterness between both men. In the end, we did finish the task as ordered, but under a cloud of self-inflicted adversity. That bitter cloud never completely lifted from my sergeant, but it did move from me soon afterward. At the first opportunity, the XO called me into his office to apologize and to say he didn't mean the terrible things he had said about our performance. He praised our work and my supervision of the office, and admitted that my sergeant's actions and attitude had fueled his anger. I surmise he recognized my repentant heart and desire to walk out my soldierly calling faithfully. He did not see the same heart in my sergeant. That's why my interactions with him after that were positive, but my sergeant's interactions were few and often negative. The XO became a mentor and a friend to me, but a nemesis to my sergeant. All because a load of maps revealed the attitude of the heart. It's always the heart that gets us in trouble. The solution is so simple: obey and be blessed, or disobey and suffer the consequences. But our hearts always get in the way. Our Creator and Redeemer has been working on that ever since our first ancestors made matters worse by offering excuses instead of repentance for their wrongdoing. His plan was to create a nation that would show all nations the way to redemption. That's why he called Abraham to become the father of the covenant nation of Israel. When the Creator redeemed Israel out of Egypt, he explained to them how to live according to his standards of righteousness, and what he would do if they complied. If you walk in my statutes, keep my commandments, and carry them out, then I will give you rains in their season, the land will yield its crops, and the trees of the field will yield their fruit. I will bring shalom in the land, and you will lie down with no one making you afraid. I will remove dangerous beasts from the land, and no sword will pass through your land. I will turn toward you, make you fruitful, and multiply you. I will confirm my covenant with you. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul will not abhor you. I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you will be my people. I am Adonai your God, who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, so that you would not be their slaves. And I have broken the bars of your yoke, and made you walk upright. Yeshua, Israel's Messiah King, summarized this many centuries later during an intimate dinner conversation with his closest friends. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. These are comforting words, but we often overlook the sobering aspect to them. Yeshua speaks with the authority of Almighty God, the same Almighty who called Israel into existence and commissioned them to be a light to the nations. In that same passage where he promises to bless Israel in response to their obedience, he points out the consequences that follow their disobedience. Things like sickness, economic distress, foreign occupation, death, and global exile are among those progressively more serious consequences of judgment. As alarming as this sounds, it's the provision of a loving and merciful God who chastises his loved ones to get their attention and bring them back into the way of life. He holds open the door of repentance and reconciliation as long as they are willing to respond. Even though they suffer the full extent of his judgment, as in fact they did, the Redeemer promises, "Yet for all that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not reject them, nor will I hate them into utter destruction and break my covenant with them, for I am Adonai their God. But for their sake I will remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am Adonai." This is the covenant Messiah Yeshua renewed with his blood. Not only did he come through on the promise to remember the covenant for the sake of Israel, he opened the way for all people to partake of that covenant by pledging allegiance to him, identifying with the covenant family of Israel, and taking up the responsibility to walk in the Redeemer's way of life by doing as he says. Our Messiah King said something about that as well in that conversation with his friends. "He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while dwelling with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of everything that I said to you. Shalom I leave you, my shalom I give to you, but not as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled or afraid." Of all the ways people can be divided and categorized, the most important is the division between those who follow the Redeemer and those who do not. Those who follow him are the ones he brings into his covenant with Israel. Those who do not remain part of the world. It's neither an easy nor a quick transition from the world to Israel and from death to life. But our Redeemer has given us a map and a guide that we might find our way.
Oh, you'll turn us back. Oh, Father, turn us back.